All right, let's wrap this up here. So we're about to talk about large PCAPs. PCAPs that are too big to load into something like Wireshark or to easily make my way through. How can I handle those things? We got a couple of ways we could do it. It could be taking something like Snort with a pretty big rule set in it and just getting a big overview of the kinds of activity that it's alerting on. That's not a bad approach. Some people, that would be their first approach. Some people, their first approach, I'm just going to fire up Bro, run it against that packet capture with no special scripts, just the default stuff, because I know it's going to jump out all of these logs for all the protocols and all the connections and all that other stuff, and I can then peruse and see if there's anything interesting. That could still be too much data, though. Some people might say, let me look at the NetFlow data. For me, that's probably one of the places I will be. I'll start around the NetFlow data and see what's going on. Once I start to see interesting things, though, now I might want to start extracting data out of that. So that's where I might move to something like TCPDub or T-Shark or another tool I don't have mentioned here on the slide. Now I'll show you, we got examples of these, right? I could run it through Snort, find interesting stuff, create rules to find more stuff. We've done that already. I could use TCPDump to do it. Now, I'm going to switch over here for a second. In the slide there on page 50, it's talking about using TCPDump to grab the data. So I've got this phishing thing here. And I started looking at it. Oh, there's a lot of stuff. Oh, that's interesting. Let me look for, so I might do it this way. Let me look for TCP sub 13 and 0x12 equal to 0x. Where are the sins? Is it the 1 or is it the 2? It's the 2. Equal to 0x02. So what am I looking for? You all went to sleep already. Too much ice cream. TCP sub 13, that's the TCP code bits. TCP code bits. And I'm looking for SYN packets. Show me all the SYN. So I'm now only looking at SYNs. I want to look for connections. And then I say, oh, there's port 25 stuff. Yeah, I don't care so much about that. And not port 25. And wow, there's only two other things. Wow. Port 999 and 8888. Do those stand out as really odd? Now, honestly, this is not the largest packet capture, but if I had an enormous packet capture, that is a perfectly valid way of beginning to approach this problem. I might approach it a little differently. I might say, well, what's my stuff? I think in this case, my stuff is on this 173 network, so I might have approached that differently. I might have said this. I want to find all of the SYNACs, source net 173.255.224.0/24. I want to find if my hosts are answering connections, and they are. Okay, on port 25 and not port 25. And no, my hosts are not answering on any other connections. So I might be looking at it from that point of view. I know it's called a phishing attack. I don't know that when I first get a packet capture. It's just a capture. Those are approaches I might take. But let's say that we've done what I described earlier, and I've used something like RWFilter with Silk, and I've come down with NetFlow to figure out, there's an interesting flow here. There's an interesting flow here. For us, phishing, and I'm going to say I want to write so I'm reading out of a file and I'm writing into a file at the same time. You can do that. That's absolutely fine. What I want to find are port 8888 or port 9999, because those were weird. It now does that. I now have a, well, not hugely smaller file, but potentially, if this had been gigabytes, I'd now be down to a couple hundred K, and that I could then take into something like Wireshark and begin to look at it in more detail to figure out exactly what's going on. Are you with me on that? So the fact that I can use TCPDump to both read and write is pretty cool. Using TCPDump, there are some other features you've got. You have the ability to do a do an automatic rollover. And you can do that rollover based on the size of the file or based on the amount of time that has passed. So if I have a single massive packet capture, if I just wanted to cut it into smaller manageable pieces, I could use TCP dump and have it automatically generate multiple files from that based on size or time. But there's another tool that's quite useful. It's not listed on the slide, EditCap. EditCap is part of the Wireshark toolkit. It just didn't make it into the slide here. It allows me to do something that I cannot do with Wireshark. It's this dash A and dash B. This is super valuable because I might not yet have enough information to know what ports or protocols or any of that. I've just got some little indication. And now perhaps I want to look at the context of that. And by context, I mean in time. So I can specify a starting and ending timestamp and extract files out of a capture and put them somewhere else. That is a great way to begin narrowing things down. Groovy? All right. So there's a lot of different strategies, a lot of different tools for managing these large packet captures. So we talked about the TCP dump stuff. We've already mentioned the Silk stuff to do the analysis at the high level. We've actually been working through it. You're still kind of doing it, even though you don't have a massive capture file just yet. And I could also take a look at using T-Shark. I would prefer to use T-Shark over TCP dump if what I'm trying to do really lends itself to the display filters. Now, TCP dump is still faster than T-Shark, but T-Shark lets me look at things with display filters. I want to see DNS queries where the size is greater than. Can I do that with TCP dump? Yeah. TCP dump, port 53, and UDP offset 12, and big bit mask thing. And you say, you know what, I'm at the limit of bit masks in my life. I have sworn them off for the new year. I'm using T-Shark, and I'm using that dash capital Y, DNS.query, size greater than, because, man, that's easier. So I might choose to do that, too. Yeah. Yeah, CIDR notation is the accepted method, yeah, if you want to talk about a network. Yeah, it sure is. And I could use Bro to do that, too. We mentioned that as well. So just running it and seeing what comes out. Or some of us will sometimes just write Bro scripts. I've got a bunch of these scripts that simply do some statistics on the packets for me, and I use Bro to do it. Can I do that stuff with Silk? I can, but I tend not to. I can't tell you why. I just use Bro because I can write a fairly simple script where I can count up the number of bytes that were in connections, the number of this, or the number of times I saw a URL, and create some logic around that pretty quickly. That would be more difficult to do something with something like T-Shark. There's no right tool. It's about picking the tool out of your toolbox that matches the problem you're trying to solve. Are there third-party companies making additional tools that are more powerful? Well, more powerful is a relative thing. There are definitely companies. So, for instance, can I talk about you, Stu? So Stu is telling me, I haven't seen the tool yet, but he's telling me about it, what sounds like an amazing tool that Arbor Networks has put together that's really dealing with NetFlow data, right? NetFlow and packet data. That sounds amazing. Very powerful tool. So that, I would say, is a very powerful tool. Is it more powerful? I don't know. It depends what I'm trying to do. There are people who are creating tools that sit on top, but more powerful is a relative thing. I want to remind you of something I said earlier in the week. It is generally true that if I'm going and buying a commercial IDS, they are effectively going to be like virus scanners, alerting me only to things they know, and then collecting very little context about that. The more advanced tools can get more data than the others, but that's not better. It's just different. And we're starting to see that more and more. What's been happening, so we were talking about, should we talk about this other tool? Black Hills Information Security has come out with this really awesome tool called Rita that takes the bro data and visualizes it and lets you point and click through the thing through an elk stack. And I have not, I've looked at it. I haven't run it. But John Strand, the guy who's running the project, told me, here, watch this. Watch how quickly C2 beaconing shows up.
Yeah.
Yeah. That could be what it is. Yeah, I don't know. Like we were saying, I don't know where his, what his business plan is on that thing. So yeah, there is a big move toward visualization.
I mean, all these scripts you were writing in C, those are, I could see a huge opportunity.
Oh yeah.
Can go in and
oh, absolutely.
Graphical.
Yep. And in fact, I do that myself. I do that myself. So I'm showing you the scripting in here, but what I do in my business is I take that output and drive it into something that's going to create a visualization for me. So I can see trends over time, and we're just not going that far here.